How long have you been a voice actor?
At this point, about 32 years. I started when I was 15.
15.
Yep.
Wow. Well, what was your first voice acting job?
Oh, I was a bored teenager in a suburb of Kansas City, and just thought it'd be fun to hear myself on television. It didn't occur to me anybody got paid for it. I just was listening to the really bad local, commercials that at
Yeah.
that time, and to a great degree in small markets still are just done by the local disc jockeys, on the radio stations. So they all tend to sort of sound the same, the Waterbed Gallery, they all,
We're going down. They kind of all sound like that,
right.
yeah.
So, I knew I could do, I did it. I was always a good mimic, so I was good at doing different voices, and I just I grew up in the watching the golden age of television in reruns as a teenager, so I got to I would mimic what I heard on television. So I did a lot of dialects and a lot of stuff that I just didn't hear on the radio commercials and the TV commercials locally, and I knew I could do that. And like I said, it didn't occur to me anybody got paid to do that sort of thing. I just thought it'd be fun to hear myself and to do it. So I started calling the local advertisers, of course, back in those days you had to use it like a Yellow Pages and find them. And of course, most of them were not terribly sympathetic to my blunt approach because, I was a 15-year-old. I didn't have a whole lot of tact. I was sort of basically saying, "Yeah, I heard your commercial and it really sucked, and I can do better." So, needless to say, they didn't respond real well. But one day I called the American Cancer Society because I'd seen one of their PSAs for some fundraiser or something, and it was really terrible. They assumed I was a professional voiceover guy. I got a call back very shortly from one of the largest ad agencies in Kansas City that had their account, and they were like, "Oh yes, we would love to have a professional voiceover guy, help us out." And I, of course, that kind of went right over my head. It didn't really register, but so I had to have my dad drive me down to the session a couple days later, and of course they walked up to my dad and started talking to him, and
Oh,
he's
that's
like, "No."
funny.
Yeah, he's like pointed at me, this pimply-faced 15-year-old with my fringy cut-off jeans and stained T-shirt.
Well, your parents must have been like, you must have entertained them doing your mimic of your voices and
Oh,
everything.
well, entertained or drove them insane. I'm one of those kids that today they probably would have me drugged up to my eyeballs on Ritalin.
Have people recognize your voice, if they've met you or...
Yeah, that does occur fairly regularly, where someone, hears me say something and they kind of look at me funny, and it just it doesn't happen daily, but it does happen once in a while.
Besides from all the narration of commercials and stuff like that, you also do cartoon shows, which I didn't know a lot of them that you did. I didn't know that you did Darwin from the Wild Thornberries. I did
I
not know
would.
that, and you were also Professor Utonium.
Yes,
And
on the
him.
Powerpuff Girls. Bubbles, Blossom, Buttercup, you can kick Mojo Jojo's butt tomorrow. Now it's time to do your homework. Yeah, that's.
See that I can't believe that, 'cause that's I watch those and
Oh, sure.
and it's just amazing that you can do all those voices. And so when you get a role like that, how do you choose a voice for the character? Do you
Well, to some degree, you don't. I mean, they give you a sketch of the character or drawing, sometimes a full color rendering of their concept of what he or she, the character, whatever, will look like. And then they'll give you a description. They'll say, we think he should be like this. So it's not like you just make it up completely on your own. They definitely have an opinion as to what they want. Want the character to sound like. In the instance, for instance, of Mr. Harriman
Oh,
on
yeah.
Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends, I mean, just by his drawing and their description that, they said right there, we want sort of the stuffy, blustery British colonel.
With the monologue and every, just
Yeah, so that was fairly simple to, they were, that's what they wanted. So, that's a fairly well-established stereotype. Good heavens, the blustery British colonel, you see. With every cartoon, that's what they do. They show the voice actors sketches and they give them a written description. And then they just listen to what people come up with. And that's where, and then they just listen to the voices and pick the person they think matches their idea of the character. character the best. Now, when I lived in Los Angeles, I would go and record with the cast, but even then, only probably half or two-thirds of the shows recorded as a group. Mm-hmm. It depends on how many on-camera celebrities are involved, because there's a lot of on-camera celebs that do voiceover, and
yeah.
if they are involved, it's very difficult to get their schedules to coincide. You know, they won't block out. It takes about 3 hours to 4 hours to do one if you're doing it as a group.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to get a celebrity to sit anywhere for 4 hours. They just want to come in, read their lines, and leave.
Yeah.
So that's where the if there are on camera celebs involved, then you don't read it as a group anyway.
Oh, really?
No, everyone just kind of comes in and does their own thing. Like when we did the Wild Thornberries,
mm-hmm.
After the first few episodes, where we just sort of got together to get to know each other and make sure we nailed the characters down, we never recorded the as a group ever again. So they would pair us up. I mean, it would be, you know, like when I did my stuff, me and then Lacey and I would read almost all the time together.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would have Tim and the woman that played the mom, they would read together.
Oh, okay.
You know, so, but yeah, no, we ran across each other and we'd go out occasionally and, you know, have a couple beers and it was a lot of fun. But in terms of, you know, on a week-to-week basis getting
yeah.
together, no. I think the guy that was the hardest to get together with was Michael Balzari, who was Flea.
Oh, really?
Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah, from the band, yeah.
Yeah, so because he was on tour a lot, so, but he, you know, his character was so, he didn't speak, he just made little funny noises, so he could come in and do a whole bunch at a time.
Just do a bunch of funny, do like it's like pretty much like Taz, you do a bunch of...
Exactly.
Do a bunch of gargles and stuff like that, and there's your line.
Right.
When you get a role, a voice acting role, and it's a character that other people have done, other actors or other voice actors have done, and such like I said, Yoda from the Clone Wars movie, or different stuff like that, do you feel like you have to get as close to the original voice as possible?
Well, you do. I mean, otherwise they won't hire you. I mean,
yeah.
when they're going for a voice match for an existing character, that's all they want is somebody who is as close as possible.
Because you got pretty close to you. I'm like, that's Yoda right there.
Yeah, I think, you know, I mean, it's not, it's, no, nobody's ever going to perfectly mimic Frank Oz. I mean, it's, you know, he is what he is, and he's got a quality to his voice that's very difficult to exactly emulate. I mean, you know, nobody that listens to any of the Muppet stuff today that has people doing it is you know, I don't think anybody, you know, would know that. Everybody knows they're close, but they're not
yeah.
they're not dead on, and I don't think they could be. I mean,
it takes
six guys now to do what Mel Blanc did by himself.
It's amazing how, you know, all those voices came out of one person, but
well, they cheated a little bit. Like, one of the things that no one realized is that, for instance, the voice of Sylvester
mm-hmm.
and the voice of Daffy Duck are the exact same voice.
Oh, really?
In the old days, what they would do is put a capstan over the rod on the reel-to-reel tape recorder to make it larger so that it would go faster. They didn't even have variable speed tape recorders back then.
Oh.
So they would actually slip a thicker rod there so the tape would go a little faster and speed up the voice. So if you listen to Sylvester is down here. His pitch is like suffer and succotash. Well, if you speed it up, it's Daffy Duck. It's the exact same thing. It's just higher pitch, and it's a little crazier.
The
characters, he shades the character a little differently, obviously. It's a little different personality. But the voice itself is exactly the same. It's, Sylvester's just down here, and he's got that lisp. And you speed it up, and it's a little up here, and it's Daffy Duck. It's the exact same voice. It's just that the funny part is that Joe Alasky, who does both of those voices today,
yeah.
did not know that growing up, of course, and, you know,
mm-hmm.
how could he? So he actually learned to do the voices differently. They don't speed Joe up. He actually does two different voices.
Wow.
He changes his voice so he does them correctly. So it's just funny because, you know, even...
That is funny.
Because, you know, even Mel didn't do that, so...
And, you know, but like I said, you know, another one is from the Halloween movie, H2O, when you did the voice of Donald Pleasant, who passed
yes.
away.
Yeah.
And that was interesting. And I have to say, when I first saw that movie, and, you know, I didn't know that, you know, that was you as a voice actor doing the voice. I actually thought that was the actor. That was probably one of the most scariest parts of that movie, was just hearing your narration over the pictures.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's such a, again, it's an iconic voice, you know. It's like... you hear something like that, or Yoda, or, you know, I did, I was honored to be picked by Stanley Kubrick to be HAL 9000 before he died. So that was another thing that, you know, your goal there is to try to come as close as possible.
When you narrate movie trailers, like I know you did WALL-E and Ratatouille, and when you do commercials or different shows, is there a certain way you do your voice for the different kind of genre that it is, a comedy?
Oh, sure. I mean, you know, there's two elements to doing a successful movie trailer voiceover. One of them is having the right voice, obviously. You know, if you sound like Sylvester, you're never going to get hired to do a movie trailer.
Yeah.
So they want a certain sound, you know, depending on the trailer. If it's a comedy, they'll want a certain sound. If it's a drama, they want a certain sound, you know. Obviously, most of the dramas and stuff, it all kind of harkens back to Don LaFontaine. They all kind of want Don, that sort of sound. You know, the in a world, now, you know, that kind of thing.
But yeah.
Which I really don't do. I don't have that depth, you know, that the amazing pipes that some of those guys have.
Will you change your voice? Because, you know, what you sound, what your normal voice is and what you hear when you do
That's because it's all, to me, it's all a put-on. You know, most of the guys who do movie trailers, that actually is what they sound like to a great extent. I mean, some of them, you know, I mean, they all change their voice a little bit and put on a bit of an artificial, you know, sound.
Mm-hmm.
Even Don did, you know, his speaking voice was still very clearly Don LaFontaine, but obviously he doesn't walk around going good morning, you know, you know he'll say good morning, you know, he's still got that rasp and the depth, but he doesn't go good morning, you know, I mean,
yeah.
So everybody, even the guys that sound that way naturally, they change their inflection, but most of them, their natural voices are pretty close to their speaking voices, to their trailer voices. That's not true with me. To me, it's all characters. When someone says, do a movie trailer, I'm like, okay, well, which movie trailer guy, which character would fit this script? So if it's a comedy, you know, I either do, you know, I do a lot of stuff for Disney, Pixar, and DreamWorks. I've got all the Madagascar stuff coming out now.
Oh, that's cool.
So that all the new Madagascar 2, which is all very, you know, it's DreamWorks Madagascar 2 starts Friday at theaters everywhere, which is again very much the you know, all your favorite Disney characters.
Yeah, that guy.
You know, so I do a lot of that stuff, and or if it's a different kind of comedy, I'll do, you know, if it's like I'm doing some Jim Carrey stuff for a couple of projects he's got coming out, so that's a
different really?
So I'll do sort of a, you know, it's this sort of voice, you know, starring Jim Carrey, Jack Black, and, you know, Cameron Diaz. You know, it's starts Friday at theaters everywhere. That's a So it's a different kind of voice. But to me, they're all, as I say, they're almost just different cartoon characters. You know, it's just which one fits that script.
Well, how many jobs of voice acting do you think you've had? You know.
Oh, my gosh. Tens of thousands. I stopped counting. I used to kind of keep a rough track of how many different jobs I'd done, and I stopped at about 20,000. I can't even imagine at this point. And that was years ago. Of course, you know, a lot of that, it sounds more impressive than it is, perhaps, because, you know, when you do movie trailers and you do television network promos, I mean, sometimes you'll do four or five a day just for that one movie, you know. I mean, there have been days, I think my record was last year during the WALL-E campaign, the Disney Pixar WALL-E. I think in one day I did 7 sessions for just that one movie, and then I did 4 or 5 other recording sessions, you know, so in like one day I did 12, at least 12 different, you know, sessions in one day.
How many hours do you work?
More than I wish, because the problem is that I live now in the central time zone, but most of my clients are in L.A. 2 hours behind me, so I pretty routinely work till 7 o'clock at night. 8 o'clock sometimes, but the good news is I don't start till 9 or 10 in the morning.
Mm.
But I'm pretty much working 10 hours a day. You know, it's pretty much seems to be the case. But I got a lot of kids to put through college, so I'll take it when I can get it.
Well, I understand that. That's the reason. I guess you have fun doing it, though. I mean,
oh, absolutely. You know, well, some of it's fun, some of it's not. I mean, you know, like anything, it becomes work after a while. You know, I mean, you know, it just depends on the job. Some are more fun than others. I mean, I had one that, you know, a couple months ago that was probably one of the worst sessions I've ever had. It just went on for hours, and it was just nightmarish. I mean, they had me doing the voices of, it was a Burger King promotion that was happening in different countries around the world, but not the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And they were doing a tie-in with something to do with Star Trek.
Oh, okay.
But not the new Star Trek movie, the original series.
Uh-oh.
So they had these toys that were the original characters of the original Star Trek series, and they wanted them to talk. So they had me doing a voice of Shatner for Captain Kirk and Spock and Chekhov and Scotty.
Dang.
And I can do those to varying degrees of success, but the twist was they wanted them in their native languages. So I was trying to do all those voices in German and in French and in Castilian Spanish and in German. Well, it sounds cool. The problem is that...
Do you speak?
I speak a little German and a little Spanish, but they needed it perfect. So they would have a translator on the line with me that was adjusting my pronunciations till it was perfect. The problem was, once you get it to the point where the pronunciation is perfect, it doesn't sound like Spock anymore.
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, this doesn't sound anything, you know, especially Shatner. That's half of Shatner's read is his cadence. It's, you know, if it doesn't sound like Captain Kirk, it doesn't sound like William Shatner.
And
it's hard to do that in a foreign language because you can't do that and have it still be correct French. And so I tried to explain to them, like, well, you have to make a choice. It either can be perfect French or it can be imperfect French that sounds like William Shatner. Which do you want? That was the problem. They just couldn't decide.
Oh.
You know, so, I mean, it went on for, I was literally sweating. I'm just like going, this went on for hours and hours, and I just was finally like, you know, guys, this is as good as it's going to get. You know, if this isn't good enough, you need to find someone else in your country that speaks German and sounds like William Shatner. But, the problem was they just didn't know, you know, they hadn't really thought it through.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, do we want someone that sounds like, you know, I mean, imagine Scotty. I'm sitting there trying to do Scotty, who has got a thick Scottish brogue, but in Spanish, or in French, or in German. You know, so you've got a guy that says, Dr. McCoy, you come up as worth nine or so blue. So, you know, it was, Herr Dr. McCoy. You know, du kannst nicht mehr Wort 9, es gibt ausgesprochen, you know, and it's like...
That sounds German.
Well, right, but it was like trying to come up with something that sounded like Scotty, but was German, you know, and it was fine, it was awful. It was awful. I will never do that again. When I started doing movie trailers, it was probably 1988, I would guess. It was about 20 years ago. And when I started 20 years ago, there were seriously... five guys that did all of them. It was Don, Hal, Percy, that was about it. Don, Hal, Percy, and of course, the guy, the Disney guy, and there were about five guys that did all the movie trailers for the entire industry. So you know, the fact that there's 20 now is actually quite an increase.
Well, I recognize a lot of voices from a lot of guys that do cartoon shows. From the guy that does the voice for Milo in the new Disney cartoon movies, I've heard his voice in a couple of like when you're watching Disney Nickelodeon, you hear his voice during the commercials, like this is what's coming up next and stuff like that.
Who is that?
I can't think of his name. James Taylor.
James Arnold Taylor.
Taylor. Yeah.
Yeah, he's also Obi-Wan in. In the new Clone Wars.
Oh yeah, he is.
Series. And he's he's done a ton of stuff. He's James is excellent. He's one of the new generation of cartoon guys that's really, you know, at the top tier of the profession. So he's excellent.
To talk a little bit about the new Star Wars movie, since the Comic-Con, the Fan Day 2 is this weekend. How'd you get involved in the movie?
Well, I've been doing Yoda. I've been doing Star Wars projects for 15 years. I was, or more even. I think I was on the very first game that the LucasArts ever made. You know, back when they were on these giant 5-inch floppy disks. You know, at first they were just hiring me to do just miscellaneous voices. You know, like Archaeologist Number 3 or you know, a TIE fighter pilot number two. Mm-hmm. And, you know, being the kind of hams the voiceover people are, we, you know, I and being a Star Wars fan, you know, I'm sitting there kind of freaking out a little bit. Oh, you know, this is cool. I'm working on a Star Wars project. This,
yeah.
You know, I'm actually working for a company with the word Lucas in it. You know, that's pretty amazing. And, and you know, and of course, I'm sitting there reading a script one day, and there's something in there with, I think it was Yoda or C-3PO. But I was just joking around, and they're like, they're all looking at me through the glass, and they're kind of going, can you do that again? And they, you know, recorded it, and it turns out what I didn't know was that Frank Oz, you know, who had become a very successful director,
mm-hmm.
was, like, out of the country doing something. He was directing a movie somewhere, and just there was no way he was going to take a break from being a director to, you know, do a Yoda for a video game.
Yeah.
You know, and turns out, you know, they took what I had just read, and they played it for George, I guess, and they decided I was good enough, so suddenly I found myself as Yoda, which was sort of a stunning development.
Man, growing up, you know, seeing the movies, you know, as a kid and seeing Yoda, I mean, I guess you never imagined that one day.
Oh, no, of course
you would
not.
Be Yoda, kind
no,
of.
No, I never. I still, you know, I still hear myself, you know, I went to see the movie in the theaters just like everyone else, you know, and man, I got to tell you, I sat there with a lump in my throat going, how did this happen to me, you know? It's you know, for as long as it lasts, it is a dream come true, so.
Now, you also do C-3PO. I heard that on...
Well, I do some. You know, of course, Anthony is C-3PO, and he's still quite active in doing that. It's just, it depends on his schedule, and it depends on whether he wants to do the project. It depends on where he is versus where it is, you know, whether mm-hmm. So there's just all kinds of factors as to whether they use him or me. You know, obviously, if they can get him to do it, that's the ideal situation. And even from my point of view, I mean, I'm a fan. I personally would rather hear Anthony Daniels.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm sitting there watching something with my kids, I'd rather it be him than me, just from the point of view of a fan.
I try to do a Yoda, and it don't come out good. I think the only thing I can do is a laugh for somewhat, and that's pretty much all I can do.
Yes, Yoda, hard on the voice it is. Yeah, it's not one of those things you can do for hours at a time. There have been a few times where I've had to do Yoda for a video game, and one of them was very Yoda-heavy, and they pulled out this stack of script for Yoda, and I'm like, there's no way that we're going to get through all of that today.
Because it's
like,
very raspy.
It's not that many lines, and I said, well, it's not so much that it's that many lines, it's just by the end of the... you know, after a half hour or an hour of that, it's not going to sound like Yoda anymore. You know, it's going to just get so...
gargety and kind of like...
Yeah, it's just, well, it just doesn't sound... It just starts sounding hoarse instead of character-y.
Do you lose your voice often when you do different...
Not real. I mean, there have been a few times in my career, I mean, literally like three or four in the 20 years or 30 years I've been doing this, where I've worked so much that I started messing, you know, started sounding terrible.
Well, on your website, I saw a clip you had from the Today Show where they talked about how Hollywood actors now are being hired by major companies to do voice acting for their projects.
For commercials and stuff, yes.
And, you know, and they mentioned names like, you know, Sean Connery and, you know, George Clooney and Gene Hackman, who I've heard Gene Hackman pretty much every time I see a Lowe's commercial.
Yeah, he's been doing that for a few years. I was actually on that show. I was on the Today Show. I was one of the guys they were talking to on camera.
Now, how do you like feel about that? How, because they also said that they're paying you guys less, and they're paying the movie guy actors, or
oh, far less. Oh gosh, yeah. I mean, something that I would make $5,000 off of, or maybe $10,000 off of, they're paying those guys $500,000.
What would be a good step into getting into maybe voice acting and everything? What's something you should do or not do to...
Well, and if you're near a major market like Dallas or Chicago or San Francisco or any of those, all major market cities have a voiceover business and community that does, you know, their stuff there locally. You know, every town has sort of the different echelons of voiceover work. The and again, I'm not trying to put it down. I'm just saying that the lowest rung of voiceover work is, of course, just the stuff that the DJs do for free.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the commercials you hear on the radio stations, they just do those for free. It's part of the part of what they get when they buy the time on the radio station. You know, so that's not a lucrative way. You can't make a living doing those because the DJs are doing them for free.
Yeah.
And then above that, you get the local commercials where they actually hire local talent.
Mm-hmm.
To do, for the local ad agencies. And those, obviously, is where you want to start. You need to find out who does local ads, and in every community where there is a decent-sized local ad business, there will be people that, that have recording studios that can help you put together a demo reel. But nowadays with the Internet, I mean, you can find people in Hollywood that will help you put together a demo CD.
Oh, really?
And you can do it over the Internet. I mean, they'll send you a copy, and you send them reads, and they'll give you critiques and help you put it, So, I mean, that's possible as well, too, nowadays. But you need to put together something that sounds like, a demo reel. I keep saying reel. It's not a reel anymore. It's a demo CD, or now a demo email, a demo MP3, that you can send out to the local people. So, you need to find something that is a kind of a new twist or something, because one of the things I get all the time is people will send me a reel saying, can you listen to my cartoon stuff and see what you think? And the whole demo is them trying to do Bugs Bunny and Yogi Bear and Tony the Tiger. And I'm like, well, do you think they're going to hire you to do that? They already have a Fred Flintstone.
Yeah.
They already have Bugs Bunny. They have, and you're not any better, certainly not better than the ones they have. So they're going to listen to this and go, okay, why would I hire a guy who does a worse Bugs Bunny than Billy West? Or why would I hire somebody that does a worse Sylvester than Joe Alasky? I'm not going, so there's no point in doing that. You need to come up with something that they can demonstrate your talent without making it look like you're just trying to, I don't know what, take someone else's job who they've already established, because there's no point in that.
Come up with your own voices?
Well, yeah, again, it can be a stock character. It can be British, the British butler. It just needs to be, your British butler. I can forget that. Well, I actually have to run. I'm supposed to be on mic 5 minutes ago, so
do
more, we can do more of this later if you need to, or if not, it's been a wonderful time chatting with you, and I'll see you at the Fan Days this weekend.
We'll see you at Fan Day.
You got it. Thank you.
Thank you.